Chris.
Thank you.
Welcome. Good morning. Thanks for making the time to come out here. Hopefully you had a good night last night. The Chihuly Museum is quite the place, as well as the Capitol Hill Roastery. So looked like everyone has a good time, and great to see you all here this morning. We've been talking the last day or so about how we use technology to transform companies, transform industries, how the world's being transformed through technology. And what we're going to do this morning is something maybe a little different and talk about how technology is actually transforming a high school really close to here. Sammamish High School is a local high school in the Bellevue School District. It's about 3 miles from here. It's a very unique high school in that you actually have 53 countries represented in this high school, kids from 53 different countries. It draws quite a diverse community. A lot of people that come work at Microsoft, a lot of people have come into this country to work in the Seattle area. I was talking to one of our guests backstage, and the soccer team actually has a member of the team from every continent except Antarctica on the soccer team. And so we're going to share a little bit about what they're doing to transform education within Sammamish High School. And to give you first kind of a preview of that, we're going to show you a quick video. So let's roll the video.
I think about teaching when I get up in the morning, when I'm driving to work, and even when I'm sleeping.
The real world is changing. Technology is a big part of your life.
It just makes life a lot easier to do real world stuff.
At Sammamish High School, we have made the commitment that all students are career and college ready. And so we enroll all of them in an advanced placement human geography, where students in high school can earn college level credit. During the course of the year, we do problem-based learning challenges. We call a unit or a project a challenge.
These are the current attendance boundary lines.
Problem-based learning involves several tenets. Authentic problems.
I think it's too far away from Bellevue.
Outside expertise.
All the way to the Supreme Court.
And collaboration.
And then we take some in Newport, yeah.
At the start of this school year, Sammamish High School rolled out a one-to-one technology program. All students received a Windows 8 tablet device with Office 365, including OneNote. Using the OneNote class notebook, I'm able to give all of my students the resources that they need, and I'm able to see their work at a moment's notice.
Today in class, we worked on the redistricting challenge. I used OneNote for that, and we took notes and we asked questions to each other.
It's a middle school and high school that it should have like its own attendance area.
A real problem makes me want to try harder.
So let's brainstorm here.
It wasn't lecture-based, it was hands-on, doing projects, working in group atmospheres, and then presenting the solution as your end product.
And it may be really hard for the students and the staff members.
So this is Dr. Paul Sutton.
As part of the challenge, I bring in industry experts and I let them help guide students on their journey.
I'm blown away by what students are doing in that classroom.
We're just Sammamish, it's gonna change the incomes.
Okay. Like, kids are asking good questions, they're holding each other accountable.
And do you agree how we split the bridal trails in half?
There's not just race, there's not just ethnicity.
So they can collaborate in real time, find resources immediately online.
There you go.
One of the cool things about OneNote is students are able to use it in a way that fits their learning styles.
We all have different ideas, but we collaborate with each other, and I think that kind of challenges me.
It makes them unafraid to fail.
I know for me personally,
kids just approach learning from a standpoint of, my friend did this really cool thing, maybe I should do some of those things too.
It's taught me how to use a lot of tools that professionals use.
They're really getting a chance to look like the experts. It becomes more authentic. Problem-based learning at Sammamish High School will help students gain the knowledge and the skills that they need to compete in a 21st century world.
It was the best choice that Sammamish ever made.
All right, that's very cool. So just to talk a little bit about this, I'd like to welcome on stage Bill Palmer and Gabby Grimstead. Let's welcome them both. Hey, Bill. How are you? Hi, Gabby. How are you?
Good.
Welcome. Have a seat. And while you're sitting down, because we don't have much time, I'd love to just kind of jump into it. And Gabby, what do you do at Sammamish High School?
I'm a sophomore at Sammamish High School. And, you know, coming in last year, I was a freshman, didn't know what to do. And they introduced our OneNotes, and it was amazing.
Good. And then, Bill, tell me what you do.
I am instructional technology curriculum coach. So I support teachers with how to use the technology and also connect them to the curriculum for the district. So,
So with that, tell us a little bit about, we saw a great video. Tell us a little about Sammamish High School and how you use technology there and kind of the impetus and how that started.
We started about 5 years ago converting to problem-based learning. The goal was to take our students who really care about each other, they care about the world, and we wanted to give them opportunities to learn in a way that mattered to them. So as you saw in the video, the project of redistricting the high schools, that's something that's personal, it's relevant, it's local. But we also give them challenges where they're solving problems across the world. So they work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They helped a nonprofit decide where to put a vision clinic in India. So we have kids through the PBL, or problem-based learning, who are able to really channel their interests, their passions, learn about content at the same time. We got to a point 2 years ago where we sort of hit a wall that we didn't have tools for students to collaborate the way they needed to or to connect with experts who were coming in and helping students, and that's where we needed to bring in the technology.
And how did that start? What was the vision? How did you think about the technology? How did you choose the technology?
We made a lot of mistakes. It started with a sort of innocent meeting where the superintendent dropped a line like maybe we should have a one-to-one program. And I raised my hand and said, let's do it at Sammamish. We brought in computers for freshmen. They didn't have the digital ink, and we didn't see any traction. The teachers didn't use them, the students didn't use
them. Interesting.
So we then said, we're gonna switch over to the Lenovo Yoga, brought in the digital ink and the OneNote class notebook tools, and at that point, it took off. And I haven't seen a student yet who leaves their laptop at home. It's just that necessary for what
they
do.
So the digital ink was the key in that.
Absolutely.
Though, Gabby, tell us from a student perspective, how was technology adopted? What do you guys think about it? How does it change your learning?
It definitely helps us when, you know, in middle school you used to go in and the only way you would have access to computers is they brought in a laptop cart or if you went to the computer lab. And having a personal laptop where you can have all your work and everything in one place really, really helped, I know me, because I lose a lot of papers. So having everything right there, it was really great. All the teachers use it. They use it for grading. They can see all your work, so you know you can't use a my dog ate my homework excuse anymore. And it's when you flip it into the tablet, it's really, really easy when you're taking notes. Handwritten notes are awesome, and you know, help color coding and things like that is really easy to do.
Then in classroom, is it expected that you take notes on your laptop, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's very, very, very expected that you are taking notes when the teacher is talking. Normally in any classroom where, like, if you would have a pen and paper, it's just a lot easier to take notes on your laptop, so.
And do teachers then submit assignments online? You return them online?
Mm-hmm. They verbalize the assignments first, and they have already set it up in the OneNote, in like the content library. And we copy it over into our personal notebook, and we work from there, and they end up, when the assignment is due, check through everybody's notebook, see it, mark it off, and then that way they can have proof that you did it, mark it off, and put it in the grade book.
And tell us about OneNote. How many folks in here use OneNote in your organizations? Quite a few, probably about 3/4 or so. Tell us about OneNote, and was there training on how to use OneNote, and how do students, does everyone use it? How do you use it?
Everyone uses OneNote. You have all your notebooks in OneNote of all your classes that require a notebook. I mean, if you're in choir, obviously you won't need one as much as your math class. And so we use OneNote, and it's very, very efficient, and it's really easy to keep track of everything that's going on in your classes. All the teachers use OneNote. It's just, you can copy over different sections, like, it's really easy.
And then how did it work, Bill, in terms of, do you provide laptops to all the students? How does that work?
Every student gets a laptop. We try to pass them out before school even starts, just so that they hit the ground running the first day they're off with the notebooks. They take them home, they turn them in at the end of the school year, we refresh and re-image them and give them back the same laptop the next school year. So.
And is it a standardized laptop for everyone, same hardware, same?
We upgrade the model, so freshmen get the newer model, and then they're expected to have that for their 4 years.
Okay, so they keep the same model, so you have a 4-year life. And how do you handle support on these laptops?
So my role is to really support students with how to use it, and then we also have a tech person who supports the hardware issues. So if the mouse doesn't work or something's going on that way, she provides that support. So we have about 30 loaners, and we just are swapping those out all day, so students are never without a laptop.
And is this something that you drove across the entire district, or is this something just at Sammamish High School?
We have I think really pushed the district to think about how they do things differently because we have piloted at Sammamish High School and we become this sort of learning hub or model school for them. So I think a lot of the innovation came from us and our partnership with Microsoft, especially the OneNote class notebook team who stepped in with us and helped create the tool that allows teachers to see into students' notebooks really easily.
And then in terms of kind of the skills gap, because I bet you have students that have, especially the diversity you have at Sammamish High School, quite a bit of diversity in terms of language and skills and capabilities and use of technology. Mm-hmm. How does this help bridge the skills gap?
I think what we've seen is the students are really the best support for each other, that when we try to provide personal support to help bridge that gap, they'd rather have it from peers. And so the networking that happens in class where students see that someone's new, just came into the country, and they just gravitate towards them and start explaining how things work, that's really how we communicate and train, is just by teaching students to be caring, compassionate people with each other. Hmm. I think in the video you saw how much collaboration was going on and how much the students were actually talking to each other. And that really is our emphasis, that students are driving the learning. So we don't have to do much as a staff to really support the students because so much takes place in those collaborative groups.
Interesting. Yeah. Gabby, it's always interesting to folks like us in terms of, you know, how we attract young people and talented people like yourself into our organizations and into our companies. Can you share a little bit about what this has done in terms of where you might think about taking your first job or employment or colleges and what you might be looking for in majors or a type of career that in the future?
So my mom works at Microsoft, and she was super excited that I was getting this new laptop and was going to be kind of like semi-associated with Microsoft. So when going last year when we did that project that you saw in the video, we were really solving this problem of like the redistricting, and the best one was going to be kind of brought up to the person who does the redistricting. And so when doing that and working with technology and realizing that this is how people now, like in Microsoft, work with technology and computers, I thought I wanted to be an art major. Funny thing, I now want to go into business or marketing and try and get a job like within Microsoft or somewhere else where I can work with technology, because just the use of technology in my school has made me appreciate it so much more. When I was just working with pen and paper, I'm like, I don't really want to go to school. That's not fun for me. Mm. Now I can have this great technology in front of me. I learn better on this technology. It's great. And I now want to be in a position and a job that works with technology.
Now, did you find a case, a lot of us have kids, and our kids are always on their phones. And so how does your phone and your mobile interact with a laptop, and do kids kind of bridge the two, or do you kind of keep them separate? It's like your phone is your social life and your laptop's your school life, or how does that work?
Well, it's really funny because we all want to communicate with each other. So, and the teachers, one of my English teacher actually said to me, he goes, I don't want you texting in my class. Feel free to email your friends, but I don't want you texting in my class. Mm-hmm. So we can still connect with people, and it's also really easy because one of my friends doesn't have a cell phone. So if we were working on a project together, which we are in my AP Biology class, it's really easy for me to email him rather than try and search for his like home number or do things like that. I can just shoot him a quick email and be, hey, did you finish pages 1 through 5 or 1 and 2? Thanks, awesome, I finished pages blah, blah, blah. So it's really easy to connect with other students with the technology instead of just relying on the lifeline that you have in your hand.
Yeah. And do you block any sites or from high school?
Yeah. So because we get sort of discounted internet rates, we're required by the federal government to make sure that there's no inappropriate sites that come through.
How about Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, any of those
sites?
We
are opening up YouTube this week, which is going to be exciting because we just realized there's so much content there that students need for learning. But we block some social media stuff.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the redistricting project and how that worked. And did they take you guys seriously in terms of the redistricting? And how did the technology play into that?
So we were given this opportunity to try and figure out where we were going to redistrict to where the schools had about an equal number of students. When doing this, it was really easy to have the collaboration space, which we used in OneNote, when we were working in our groups, to say, okay, so you're going to do this task and find out how many people live in this neighborhood and this neighborhood. And it was really easy to see all those numbers right by the map that we were working with. When splitting up the different neighborhoods, we really had to look at the numbers, figure out with ourselves how we were going to split up this map. And when it came to the debate, we were sharing our map, it was really easy to just not hold up a paper where people could maybe see the light shading, but actually see the different colors and the different sections on your laptop, and you can just turn it around, and that way the paper didn't get crumpled or wrinkled or torn, and you can just turn it around and say, this is what we did, and people were offering suggestions and questioning different maps, saying like, well, why did you make that section all the way down to the bottom? Because it would just, some of it didn't make sense, some of it made great sense of where to put things. And I felt that we were taken seriously when they brought in people that were kind of on the border associated with what we were doing and working towards.
That's awesome. And so you got to present to them in terms of what your thoughts were? And
yeah, we presented to my teacher and I forget his name, but the person that came in, and we also presented to our peers, which I felt we really build off each other.
Yeah, awesome. Bill, I know you talked to a lot of other school districts around the country on use of technology and what you're doing, pioneering. What do you see elsewhere in the country in terms of use of technology, like this or in other ways?
I think what's most interesting to me is what I don't see in a lot of places. We get a lot of visitors to Sammamish. We're a Microsoft Showcase school. And the thing that usually surprises people is how much the technology supports instruction and not the other way around. We really don't want to train students to just use Excel. We want to train them to solve problems, to be creative communicators and collaborators. So in our case, the technology came after we thought about problem-based learning and really was because we needed it to support the kind of work we wanted students to do. What we hear from visitors is that when they see other schools, they often think that the technology is there to give students access to technology, but not to really be part of the instruction. So what I think I'm seeing now is that there is a focus on how to use technology for instruction and not just for technology's sake. We're seeing more of that come out. And there's a lot more professional learning for teachers on how to actually use tools to do better assessments, to give more feedback, to help students collaborate. But I think if you just have technology in a traditional learning environment with the lecture, the textbook, the assessments that are usually just, I mean, your goal at the end of the unit is to pass a test as opposed to convince someone to change their minds, The technology doesn't really change learning that much. So it requires a shift in the way teachers teach, the way students interact in the classroom before the technology makes a difference.
And do you think this is something you could have done even if you were 3,000 miles away from Microsoft, or is it the fact that you're 3 miles from Microsoft that you're able to do this?
We were really fortunate to have someone from the Microsoft research team. We got connected to him, and he wanted to sort of have a school to play around with this idea of using OneNote. Mm-hmm. And I can't emphasize enough how much that OneNote is a collaboration place. It's consistent across the whole school. All the teachers use it. All the students use it. That has been one of the, I think that and the digital link are the two keys for making the technology really support instruction. So having that connection was huge. I think we would have heard about it eventually, but wouldn't have been on the front end of it. So.
Do you think you got anything special from Microsoft to make it work, or was it really kind of having an agitator coming in there showing you what's possible?
I think even on Tuesday we had six people from the OneNote team come to our school, and they committed to spend the whole day just in classrooms sitting, watching, observing. So what I think we get from Microsoft is really a responsiveness to our needs. So I can call up the OneNote tech guy and say, hey, I really don't know how to solve this problem, and he's on my computer fixing things in a way I don't understand at that moment. So I think the relationship with Microsoft gives us the confidence to try new things, the confidence to innovate, to be sort of out on the front edge of something that's not really tested, just because we know we're going to have that support on the back end.
Yeah. So. And so the group knows one of the things with Sammamish High School that's super interesting to us at Microsoft is just making sure we perfect that scenario, so that we can replicate it not just in education settings, but also in business settings.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you think about in the future. What do you want to do in the future, and what are your goals and dreams?
Well, one of my goals doesn't really involve technology. I would like to be a musician, but I know that not a lot of musicians make it, and which is why I need to use technology in order to, like, even in, like, a world of music, producers need to use technology and things like that. And there's going to be a time where I really want to intern and work at Microsoft. And I need to use technology to do that. And yeah.
Great. And then what do you think is, like, next? What would you see as the vision, the next steps of use of technology, you know, the mm-hmm. inking and the collaboration with OneNote is great, but what's the future hold?
I'm excited about students actually creating more content that allows them to interact with the world outside the school. I think we've treated these classrooms as sort of an individual space where the teacher and 30 students live in this isolated environment. And now that we're breaking down some of those walls, I think technology is going to give us a way for students to create things, get feedback from way more people outside, have that input transform their learning, make them think about new, exciting things, push them to think about careers they hadn't thought about before. I'm just excited about the way we're bringing the world into the school and using the expertise in the community in a way we haven't before. So.
Yeah, and what do you think is going to be necessary for us to get there?
I think we need a platform for students that's safe, that can be managed in a way that we don't run the risks of putting them in any danger digitally. But we also need ways for them to safely communicate and collaborate outside. So I'm excited about a translator for Skype coming on board. Once we get that in Skype for Business, we're going to have a way for kids to actually talk to students, and they're both speaking in their own language. So I think platforms like that that really allow us to communicate, collaborate with more than just our school is going to be what's necessary, but to do it in a safe way.
Yeah, and how do you handle, you have a lot of non-native English speakers mm-hmm. at Sammamish High School. How do you handle that? Is there a way technology plays a role in that?
Yeah, we actually have a tool inside OneNote that focuses on reading out loud the text for them. So for a lot of students to read the words, they don't make sense, but when they hear them, it does make sense. So that's been great that that's there now. A lot of translation services, so students can, in the OneNote, see what's coming 3 or 4 days down the road. And if I'm a student who doesn't understand all this vocabulary and I'm working in a group and I hear this challenge and the teacher's talking about redistricting and about school boundaries and all these words that I may not know, they're sort of specific to the class. If I can get those words 3-4 days ahead of time, translate them, now I'm able to engage in that conversation because I have some background knowledge. So we're really leveraging OneNote and the different tools as a way to prep students to give them any kind of support scaffolding they need so they can enter the class at the same level as everyone else.
Interesting. Yeah. And then Gabby, how do you and your friends use things like Khan Academy or other learning tools at Sammamish? Is that something that's popular as well?
I would say that we use, their main technology is OneNote. There are different electives and classes that do require different technologies for different things. And so I would say that OneNote is our main focus at Sammamish just for in terms of collaboration purposes and the way that it's really easy for all of us to see what's going on and easy for us to collaborate. But there are definitely some and different classes that use different technology.
And then tell us, this is one I think is interesting. I heard about this, and I've always thought, gosh, I see kind of applications in the business world for this. Is OneNote Cape that you guys do. Tell us about that.
So, I don't know if it was Ari or Mike, but someone on the OneNote team came up with this OneNote Avenger cape, so this purple silk thing, and they brought about 400 out to our school. So we had, just imagine all these students running around with capes that say OneNote on the back of them. It was
So they were wearing them at school?
Not much. I think one of the dress-up days for homecoming, one of the classes had to wear purple, so we saw a lot of capes that day. But for that one day when they passed them out, it was definitely a trend. But yeah.
And was it passed out to everyone, or was it like a badge of honor to be a OneNote Avenger?
We had an event where we brought in a speaker who is coordinated with Microsoft, Angela Myers, who does a You Matter campaign where students get to think about they get to choose something that they're passionate about and spend a day thinking about how they network and create some kind of movement towards solving those problems. Mm-hmm. So they brought in the capes for that event. It was mostly freshmen who were participating. So,
that's cool. Yeah. What's the view of just kind of OneNote inside with your friends? I know they love it for classroom and stuff, but Do they like say, hey, you know what, I'd rather be on Instagram or Snapchat, or you know, this OneNote thing is kind of a burden and it's negative because it's school and school's not fun?
Well, so my friend is an artist, and so she has her own personal notebook that she created so she can do all her drawings in it. So we kind of use OneNote as kind of like a fun little thing. We don't get very good service in our school. So it's also a very, and none of us really use our cell phones in school. If we, you know, some people take coloring pages from, if they have like a free period, take coloring pages, put it in their OneNote and color just kind of as like a stress reliever or as a passing time between periods. Or if you finish with your work, they use that. So it's really fun for us to engage in something that's right there in front of us. And it's just, it's pretty fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, this was really interesting. It's very different for a business conference to hear from a 15-year-old sophomore and educator. So I really appreciate you guys coming out, spending the time, and congratulations on what you're doing at Sammamish High School for our kids.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Gabby. Thanks, Bill. Awesome.